Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, September 12th, 2022. Coming up this hour.
Promising signs for Ukraine as military forces retake key territory from Russia.
The UK enters a week of mourning as the public prepares to pay respect to Queen Elizabeth.
And on Wall Street, it's all about inflation as traders await the next reading on consumer prices.
A New York police officer was killed while heading to 9/11 ceremonies. Plus, the sentencing phase continues for the Parkland High School shooter. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshauer in sports. A thrilling season-opening win for the Giants. The Jets lost. The Mets and Yankees won, and Carlos Alcaraz won the U.S. Open.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures on the rise this morning. We're coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 26 points, Dow futures up 175, and NASDAQ futures up 92. The 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 3.29%, and the yield on the 2-year 3.53%. And NYMEX crude oil is up 0.75% at $87.45 a barrel. Nathan.
Karen, thanks. We begin this morning in Ukraine. It's been more than 200 days since Russia invaded the country, and now we are seeing promising signs for Ukraine as the country's military advances in the east and retakes some key territories. Bloomberg's Amy Morris has the latest from our 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
Nathan, unconfirmed reports overnight suggest Ukrainian troops have retaken towns in and around the Kharkiv region, not far from the Russia-Ukraine border. Ukraine's top commander says they've returned about 3,000 square kilometers of lost territory back to Ukrainian control. Russia's defense ministry published a map showing that much of the country's forces are out of the Kharkiv region now, but they didn't comment further. Military experts tell Bloomberg News Ukraine should watch for an unexpected reaction from Vladimir Putin. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thank you. We turn to the UK now, where the nation continues its period of mourning in the wake of Queen Elizabeth's death. King Charles will speak in Westminster today as political leaders gather to offer their condolences. Then the Queen lies in state for 24 hours in Edinburgh, Scotland, where the public will pay their respects before she's moved to London. Bloomberg's Lizzie Burden has more details from Buckingham Palace.
People are already lining up to pay their respects. They have been since before the sun even came up, just to take a quiet moment of reflection. The King, Charles III, over the weekend, of course, he formally took the throne. Liz Truss swore allegiance to him, and the last Prime Minister to do that was Winston Churchill. For the rest of the week as well, she's going to accompany him on a tour of Britain. Tomorrow, the coffin will return here to Buckingham Palace, and then from Wednesday until the funeral, now confirmed for September the 19th, the Queen will lie in state at Westminster Hall.
And Bloomberg's Lizzie Burden at Buckingham Palace says the Queen's funeral will be held at Westminster Abbey 1 week from today.
And President Biden's going to attend that funeral next week, Karen. But back in the U.S., it was a somber weekend for the White House. Politics hit the pause button Sunday as we marked 21 years since the attacks of 9/11. President Biden used the event to vow vigilance against future terror threats in remarks made at the Pentagon.
What was destroyed, we have repaired. What was threatened, we fortified. What was attacked, the indomitable spirit has never, ever wavered.
President Biden laid a wreath at the Pentagon that has become a tradition for U.S. presidents on the anniversary of 9/11.
Well, it was indeed a somber weekend, Nathan. And as we emerge from it, President Biden faces a possible labor crisis that threatens to shock supply chains across the country. U.S. railroad workers are threatening a strike, and we get details from Bloomberg's Lisa Mateo.
Tens of thousands of U.S. rail workers could be on strike by the end of this week. They're warning of potential disruptions as soon as today. Negotiations have been challenging and ongoing for more than 2 years. Current rail labor contracts are frozen at 2019 levels, and the White House is urging negotiators to continue talks throughout the week. According to rail officials, a strike could snarl supply chains, disrupt agricultural deliveries, and cost the U.S. economy more than $2 billion a day. In New York, I'm Lisa. Lisa Mateo, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Lisa, thank you. As inflation sees workers fight for higher wages, it also remains front and center on Wall Street. Janet Yellen came out to address the matter this weekend. The Treasury Secretary tells CNN she's hopeful the Fed can bring down prices without sending the U.S. economy into recession.
The Fed is going to need great skill and also some good luck to achieve what we sometimes call a soft landing, which is bringing inflation down while maintaining the strength of the labor market. And my hope, I believe there is a path to accomplishing that. And my hope is that we will achieve a soft landing.
Janet Yellen says taming inflation is the main priority for the Fed and that the U.S. cannot have a strong labor market if prices remain high.
Well, Nathan, we won't have to wait long for the next reading on inflation. Consumer prices headline the list of economic data on tap this week. We get that reading tomorrow, and Bloomberg's Chris Condon says it will be key for the Fed's next meeting.
There's still 10 days to go before this meeting, but we're going to get a lot of data this week. So the Fed is going to want to not hike by 75 basis points, as they seem to have signaled to the markets. Then they're going to have to change that signal by the end of the week. And of course, that will be data dependent.
Bloomberg's Chris Condon says CPI data is not the only key indicator this week. The Fed will also be looking at readings on producer prices and retail sales.
Well, we're seeing the dollar weaken sharply this morning, Karen, and that's giving a lift to the euro and the pound. It also gave a boost to stocks in Asia overnight. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Sydney, Australia with the details. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Semiconductor stocks led the gains, TSMC rising more than 3% in Taipei, boosting Taiwan's gauge after August sales rose 59% from a year ago, and Reuters reported the US plans to broaden curbs on chip shipments to China. Reopening stocks in Japan gained after FNN and the Nikkei News reported the nation may soon ease travel curbs and scrap daily passenger caps. Australia's ASX 200 rose more than 1% in Sydney, and markets were closed for a holiday in China, Hong Kong and South Korea. In Sydney, Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thanks. S&P futures right now are up 25 points. Dow futures up 174, and NASDAQ futures are higher by 92 points. 10-year Treasury is up 3/32, the yield 3.29%. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg. 5:07 on Wall Street, 69 degrees in Central Park. We've got two accidents on the northbound FDR Drive in the Upper East Side. Details coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr. What else is going on in New York and around the world? Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. A New York Port Authority police officer was killed yesterday while heading to a 9/11 ceremony. Anthony Vivaro from Staten Island was heading to serve at the World Trade Center Command on Sunday morning when he was killed in a car crash near the Holland Tunnel. Vivaro voluntarily retired as a pitcher for Major League Baseball from the Braves to join the Port Authority only a few days later. Anthony Vivaro was 37 years old. The trial resumes today in the sentencing phase of the Parkland High School shooter. Nicholas Cruz, who is 23 years old, pleaded guilty in October to the 2018 attack that killed 17 students and staff members. The jury will decide whether Cruz will be sentenced to death or life without parole. In Madera County, California, officials are now saying the Fork fire is 60% contained. Chris Hamilton and her husband, Rick, have been lucky so far, and their house has remained unharmed. But Chris Hamilton says one of their friends hasn't been as fortunate.
One of the gentlemen that helps many of us up here with our yards, he did lose his house. It's just heartbreaking. I know there's nothing you can say that makes it better, because we've been there. They'll go through the motions and do the best they can.
The fire so far has consumed at least 28 structures and 15 outbuildings. We've reached the halfway date of the 2022 Atlantic hurricane season. It was supposed to be an above-average year for storms, but for now, experts say the odds of a quiet season are increasing with each passing day. Last spring, federal forecasters predicted as many as 21 named storms, including 3 to 6 major hurricanes. The 74th annual Emmy Awards takes place tonight. One show nominated. Ooh, Netflix Squid Game, the first non-English speaking show to be nominated in the Outstanding Drama category. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. I'll get under the table. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Never too early to creep us out. Thank you, Michael. 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Football's back, John Stashauer.
Yeah, Nathan, the Giants are 1-0. That doesn't happen often. In Nashville, they fell behind 13-0, and then two big plays in the third quarter. A 68-yard run by Saquon Barkley, who had a huge afternoon. A 66-yard touchdown pass, Daniel Jones to Sterling Shepard. Those two plays, longer than any plays all of last season. Giants took the lead with just over a minute left, converting on a risky two-point conversion. Titans had a chance to win at the end.
Snap is clean. Kick on its way. End over end. And it is no good. He missed it left. And the Giants have won. For the first time in 2016, the Giants have won a season opener.
WFAN 21-20 in Brian Daboll's coaching debut. As for the Jets, more of the same. Couple of turnovers, drop passes. Jets only touchdown came with a minute left. They lost to Baltimore 24-9. Jets have lost 13 games in a row in September. Last night in Dallas, Tampa Bay won 19-3. Leonard Fournette, 127 yards. Patrick Mahomes threw five TD passes. Easy win for Kansas City. Four TD passes for Carson Wentz in his Washington debut. Minnesota upset Green Bay easily for Justin Jefferson, 184 receiving yards. Couple of TDs. The day after the Yankees won 10-3, they won 10-4 over Tampa Bay. Scored all 10 in the first two innings, hitting four home runs, two by Gleyber Torres. The Yanks now lead the Rays by 5.5. Mets move game and a half ahead of Atlanta, a 9-3 win in Miami. After three straight five-set wins, Carlos Alcaraz won the U.S. Open final in four sets over Norway's Casper Ruud. The 19-year-old Alcaraz, youngest Open winner in 32 years. John Stashauer, Bloomberg Sports.
Okay, John, thank you. We're watching equities move higher this morning. We have S&P futures right now up 26 points. Dow futures up 175. NASDAQ futures are higher by 96 points, leading the gains this morning. Look at the DAX in Germany up 1.6% right now. We are seeing euro strength on stronger hawkish talk from European central bankers. The euro right now 1.0180 against the dollar. Dennis Gartman, the former publisher of the Gartman Letter, now chairman of the University of Akron's Endowment Investment Committee, joins us next on These Markets. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. A few showers early, then turning partly to mostly cloudy with a high near 80 degrees. Morning showers will give way to sunshine tomorrow. Low 80s will be near 80 under sunny skies Wednesday. Right now, 69 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks and U.S. stock index futures are extending a rally and the dollar retreating as traders bet inflation is nearing peak, even as policymakers ramp up hawkish rhetoric. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 26 points, Dow futures up 170, and NASDAQ futures up 92. The DAX in Germany is up 1.7%. The 10-year Treasury up 4/30 seconds, yield 3.29%. The yield on the two-year, 3.53%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.7% or 61 cents at $87.41 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.5% or $8.50 at $17.37.10 an ounce. The euro 1.0175 against the dollar, British pound 1.1683, and the yen 142.71. Looking at Bitcoin, it is up 2.8% at $22,250. And Oracle is among companies scheduled to report earnings today. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Ukrainian soldiers are taking back territory that had been controlled by Russia for several months as part of a swift counteroffensive. The Ukrainians are claiming gains in the northeast and south of their nation. Queen Elizabeth's flag-draped coffin has slowly processed through the Scottish countryside on a journey from her Balmoral Castle to the Scottish capital of Edinburgh. In football, the Giants won. The Jets lost to the Ravens 24-9. The Commanders won. The Patriots and 49ers lost. In baseball, the Yankees and Mets won. The Nationals lost. The Red Sox beat the Orioles 1-0. The A's and Giants won. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Michael, thanks. It's 519 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak on a morning where we're seeing pretty strong gains in equities. Looks like risk on this morning. Let's bring in Dennis Gartman to help us kick off this trading week, the chairman of the University of Akron Endowment Investment Committee, and of course, former publisher of the Gartman Letter. Dennis, great as always to speak with you as stocks are coming off their best week since late July. Do you expect this rally to continue? What do you think's driving it?
I think there's some optimism about what's happening in Ukraine and the fact that Xi Jinping in China has decided to travel outside of China for the first time in months, indicating that there's some reduction in the concerns over COVID in China. I think those two things are driving prices higher. There's no question that the Fed is going to be is going to tighten monetary policy again at the September meeting. The question shall be, what will they do in the November and December meetings? I think they'll tighten again. And I've been bearish at the stock market since basically January 5th of this year, and I continue to be bearish. I think the rally that we're having is on extremely light volume, and good bull markets always go up on good volume, fall on light volume. Bear markets go up on light volume and down on heavy volume, and what we're seeing is a rally on very light volume. So I continue to say that this is a bear market. It's nice to see the market rally. Everybody feels better when stock prices go up. Everybody feels bad when stock prices go down. But I think if you're long the stock market, I think you should be using this rally that we've had, the first one in a long while, to lighten up your positions. That's what I've been doing, and I think that's the right course of action at this point. The Fed's going to continue to take $65 to $90 billion out of its assets over the course of the next several years, and that was the fuel that drove the stock market and drove the economy higher. Now they're taking that fuel away.
You mentioned some of the exogenous indicators like the gains in Ukraine and Chinese President Xi moving out of the country now. So much of the inflation we've seen has been driven by exogenous factors. When you see developments like this on a headline basis, does that raise the possibility that we could see a stronger gain for risk assets given what central banks can do against inflation, which is fairly limited?
It's possible. I've been in the business for 45 years, have been trading for my own account for that long period of time, been very lucky over the course of those four and a half decades. But what I've learned is follow volume more than anything else. Don't fade the Fed and follow volume. Those are the two things to pay attention to. There's a lot of green on the board today. Grains are up. Livestock prices are up. Crude oil prices are up. There's a risk-off circumstance going on right now, but I do think that this will be very short-term in duration. And again, I'll just simply say I've been bearish since January 5th, and I think that that's been the proper course of action, so I'm going to continue to say the same thing. Don't be a buyer here. If you've been lucky and you've been long, use this rally that we've had in the course of the past five trading sessions to become less involved, less long, raise some cash.
Well, of course, a lot of attention is going to be on the August Consumer Price Index coming out tomorrow. Of course, it's going to be a big focus for the Fed as well. What are your expectations there in terms of whether we could see peak inflation or at least a trough in inflation?
I think we've been lucky with inflation for the course of the past month and a half or two. Crude oil prices have fallen, obviously, from $120 a barrel earlier this year to $81 a barrel. It's bounced a bit. We've seen grain prices come off. We've seen wheat, for example, which was trading $13 a bushel, falling all the way to $8 a bushel. But that's turned higher and going from the lower left to the upper right. Corn prices now have turned from the lower left and are moving to the upper right. Livestock prices are getting stronger. Copper prices are beginning to turn better. So I think people who have hoped that we'd have a peak in inflation probably are ill-advised, probably are wrong. I think we've had a good month and a half or two of weaker prices, but now they're turning from the low. Now they're turning up again, and I think inflationary problems will be incumbent again, not in the not too distant future. So, don't get carried away with a hope for peak in inflation. I don't think we've seen one.
Well, what are you looking at that would give you some confidence that we could see peak inflation? What would need to change?
Grain prices would have to turn lower again. Livestock prices would have to turn lower again. Copper prices would have to turn lower again. Gold would have to trade under $1,700 an ounce. Bitcoin would have to trade back below $18,000. You'd need all of those things to convince me that inflation has been negated. I don't think that that's possible. As we learned in graduate school and in undergraduate economics, inflation is always and everywhere a monetary phenomenon. And the fact that the Fed has taken its assets from $900 billion, get it right, Dennis, $900 billion to $9 trillion over the course of the past decade and a half, that was what supplied the impetus for inflation, and it's going to continue to be a problem for years to go into the future. So, yes, we may get a better number tomorrow. It's probably going to be about 8.1% or so, a little bit better than we had seen in the course of the past several months. But I think that that's going to be the best number we're going to see for quite some period of time. Labor costs continue to rise, and that's the real problem.
Yeah. We're speaking with Dennis Gartman, the former publisher of the Gartman Letter, now chairman of the University of Akron Endowment Investment Committee. Dennis, with your advice that investors should take this opportunity to pile into more cash, where do you see the path for the U.S. dollar at this point? We've seen a lot of dollar strength in recent days, and we're starting to pull back on that in the current session. Where do you see the path for the dollar going forward?
It's still...